remind us of how creation was spoke about by the writers of the stories of our faith. Taken from Genesis, where it says, the very first line, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God creates. And at the end of that chapter, it says, and God saw everything that had been made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. In this way, the heavens and earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that had been done and rested on that day from all the work. And from Romans, Paul speaking about what is in creation. And Paul says, ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been seen and understood through all that God has made. We may not see God, but we see God through all that has been made. May we take to heart this, our word from Holy Scripture. This summer when I visited my brother in Ontario, we were talking politics, as some humans are prone to do these days. And we were each complaining about the latest scandals our provincial governments were embroiled in. And in the course of that conversation, as we talked about the latest going on in Ontario, he asked me if I knew what the Greenbelt issue was all about. And I had to confess that I really knew nothing or less than nothing, because I didn't even know what a Greenbelt was. Does anybody know what a Greenbelt is? A few of you. Good, because I had to go and learn more about it. For a number of years in our country and around the world, governments have established green belts around urban centers to protect farmland, food supply, biodiversity, water quality, and to influence the development that takes a place around these urban areas. It's a protected area of land, like a belt around a city or town, intended to limit urban sprawl and protect green spaces and farmland. It's kind of hold it in. And sometimes, as what happened in Ontario, developers get involved and there's a conflict over the use of the land or a desire to appropriate some of that land for development. And that's exactly what happened. Some influential developers convinced the government that they should be able to use some of that land. But there are green belts all over the world, all over Canada and all over the world. And they are threatened by the need for more land on which we want to build. And I say this as I drive past one of those developments every day when I come to work, where I used to love seeing the fields of grain and now see the big piles of dirt. Unless we try to find a bad guy to blame for this problem, we need to look no further than ourselves. For we all want our own homes and space and property. That's our desire. We can't blame others for wanting the same. After all, the land on which we currently reside was once green space and once the home of Indigenous people who didn't have the same idea of ownership and land exploitation. So the markets are simply following what we want. And we're the market, human beings. A few questions to throw out for you this morning. They're not rhetorical. You can answer them. How many humans do scientists say the Earth can reasonably expect to sustain? How many humans? do you think? They think the earth can sustain well. Sorry? A couple million? 5 billion? We actually are past the number, but I'm just asking what you think the number is. Sorry? 2 billion? It is. It's between 2 and 3 billion. We're at 8 billion right now. Now, scientists will quarrel on that, but it's less than we have at the moment. How long would some scientists predict that non-renewables will run out? Non-renewables. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Pretty close. By the end of the century, anyway. That's gas and some minerals and so on. They think natural gas and coal will last a little bit longer than other things, but that's reality. And what percentage of the Earth's renewable resources are we currently consuming? So I'm going to say 100% of the renewable resources we can replace, but what over that percentage are we using that we cannot replace fast enough? If we were just using 100%, we could keep that going, but we're using more than that. How much more do you think? Sorry? 20%? Anybody have any other thoughts? 73. Around 73%. Now, part of that we need to recognize is also because we're not good at distributing renewable resources. And so we're wasting a lot that we're consuming because we're not good at distributing it. How many of us, at least once in a while, throw out good consumable goods from our fridges or our cupboards? I did this morning, I'll be honest. Now, if we didn't waste what we bought, we'd be better off. Creation is groaning under the burden of our wants. Anybody see the article or hear the interview by Matt Galloway of Jane Goodall this past week? Yes, she's not like 90 years old, almost 90 years old, and she's still out there advocating. And she said this: "We really are in very dark times. So many people feel helpless, hopeless, so they do nothing. They just carry on with business as usual. And it is tempting to do that. But she said, if we carry on like this, we will be doomed. But we've got this window of time and we have to get together." She describes us being in a dark tunnel where there is, in fact, a ray of light at the end. But we have to pick up our socks and get going if we're to get to that light. She said that what we need right now is hope. And bless her, she is hopeful. Yes, we need to change, but we can. We are adaptable human beings. She sees the most hope in our young people who are getting passionate about that change. She says that young people today may be angry, but they are also hopeful that we can do something to survive these times, just as we have adapted in times past when things seemed pretty dark. And she said, during the Second World War, things seemed pretty dark and we made it, she said. These days, right now, we really need to love the world that God gave us and take better care of it. It was given to us not to abuse, but to use and to tend to in a way that is mutually beneficial for all. We are the generations, most of us, there are some young people here today, but most of us here are the generations of the last century who have come through an unprecedented era of growth, material, economic, scientific, and technological growth. Never been seen like it was in this past century. But there is a correlate to that. The correlate to unprecedented growth is unprecedented destruction and desecration of the earth as we consumed and desired more than we actually needed. The two go together, growth and destruction. Unlimited growth unbalances the delicate systems that cannot keep up with our avarice. So now we're faltering, and we know it. We know that future generations can't achieve the same level of material wealth and growth that we did and still sustain a healthy world. It can't continue. We were that blip in history. And that's the hope that we see and repent and do better. Repentance, used in our tradition, means simply to turn around and figure out that there is a better way to be and to do things. We can love the earth. Wendell Berry, who is a farmer, writer, and environmentalist, writes in a book called The Great Work that the great work now, as we move into this millennium, is to carry out the transition from a period of human devastation of the earth to a period when humans would be present to the planet in a mutually beneficial manner. That we need to be on this earth recognizing that what the earth gives us and make it beneficial to all. Our scripture this morning reminds us that when God created what Berry calls the garden planet, Earth is the garden planet of all planets in our system, that when God created the garden planet, it was very good. And that humans were placed in it to care for it and to tend to it. To be good stewards, we are to keep the earth in as good a shape as we received it. And Paul reminds us that even if we can't see God, we can actually perceive God in nature. We need to be more connected to nature, to God, so that we can see God in it. We're becoming more and more disconnected. There are kids in urban centers now. Somebody was just talking to me about this recently that have never seen a garden. Don't know where their food comes from. I confess I'm getting more like that. In the last few generations, as we become more and more urbanized, we're becoming less connected to the earth that sustains us. Yet Jane Goodall sees great hope in our young people. Those of us who have benefited from the material wealth of the last century are highly unlikely to be the change agents needed to solve the current problems. Not that we shouldn't try. We will do what we can to reduce our footprint, recycle, use less, use what we buy, consume less. But we, these generations, have grown accustomed to what we have, and we're really reluctant to give it up. The youth may not have the opportunities we've had. That's the reality. And it's actually a good thing, whether we think so or not, because the growth that we have perpetrated is unsustainable. We can't keep doing it. We are on the precipice of change. And the change will be good if we embrace and encourage it in the younger generations. Because we can't do it the way we have been doing it before. So let's go smaller instead of bigger. Let's want less. Let's collect fewer things and explore the beauty around us rather than have to travel to exotic places. And let's build our relationships rather than our bank accounts. I was encouraged this last year when I ran into a young, newly married couple at a coffee shop in town, and I hadn't seen him in quite a long time since before he was married. And he is the son of some good friends of mine that I've known for a long time. And I said, "What are you doing in town?" Because they lived in Calgary, and he said, "Oh, we've moved out here now. We just moved out a little tiny house onto some friend's acreage, and that's where we're living now." And they were thrilled to be living in this tiny house. They're quite content to live there and not incur any large debts or have to work unreasonable hours to have everything they will someday have to get rid of. It'll be interesting to see where they go as they get older, maybe have a family. Friends, this is God's creation, not ours. We're to take care of it, to love it, to recognize it as an expression of God's love for us. So how will we best encourage and how will we best take care of it to make sure that it's healthy for future generations so that they too will experience God's love in this beautiful, fragile, abundant garden? How will we do that? Let's just take a few moments to reflect.